Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 5, we'll read the first 6 verses. "But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession, but they kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, or in on the deal. But they brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? While it remained, wasn't it yours? And after it was sold, was it still not in your own power? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost," or he died, he fell down and died. "And great fear came on all them that heard these things. And the young men arose, wound him up, and carried him out, and buried him." Heavenly Father, thank you again for the opportunity to preach and to teach and to explain the Word of God. I'm so thankful that you chose me, and I have no idea why you did, but I'm so thankful and so honored. And to that end, Lord, help me to preach and give understanding to those that are listening. And Lord, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. We're still studying John the Baptist. This is part 57 in our little mini-series, I guess, a very brief overview of the book of Acts. This is part 3. We said last time or the time before that Acts chapter 1, verse 8, is the key to the book of Acts. And it says that when the Spirit would come, and it did in chapter 2. We read that last week. But when the Spirit would come, that the disciples and everybody that followed them, which includes us today, preachers of the gospel today, that they'd receive power after the Spirit came. Okay, great, we have power. What is power and what's it for? Well, that verse, Acts chapter 1, verse 8, says that the power is to help us as we are witnesses of Jesus Christ and all of these things. And the sequence of events in Jerusalem and then Judea and then Samaria and then to the uttermost part of the earth. Chapter 5 of Acts, where we're studying today, it's when the gospel reached Judea. And I had said that if Jerusalem is the capital, than the province or county or parish or whatever that Jerusalem is in. It was called Judea, the tribe of Judah, and the people that lived there. But we saw in Acts chapter 2, when the gospel first got to Jerusalem, in the book of Acts, the great feast, it was fulfilled in a great and miraculous event. The Spirit fell from heaven, and in all the disciples, apostles, whatever, the 120, I guess, and maybe more, they were filled with the Spirit, and they spoke in tongues. And again, we taught on that last week. Here in chapter 5, we don't find that kind of outpouring. But when the gospel finally reached Samaria, we do find an outpouring of the Spirit. And likewise, when the gospel reached the Gentiles, and we'll read about that, that's Cornelius. Again, there was an outpouring of the Spirit, and it was obvious that God had done something. It was obvious, hey, this is the work of God. But in this chapter, again, it's the first time that it mentions greater Judea and not just Jerusalem. We find the working of the Spirit, but there isn't a great outpouring like at the other times. But we find the apostles, they continue to do the work of Christ. There are those that say that when the Spirit fell on the day of Pentecost, that everything the apostles knew about the Lord and the work of God and salvation and what Jesus had taught them for three and a half years, instantly, when they were filled with the Spirit, they gained a new understanding, and all that old doctrine and practice and belief and whatever that the disciples had been taught by Christ, all of that was changed. Well, no, that didn't happen. And this chapter shows that everything that we read in the Gospels about Jesus, the apostles continued the same thing. And as we finish our mini-study, as we complete it in Acts chapter 28, we'll see Paul doing exactly what we see the apostles doing in this chapter, chapter 5. Jesus gave us the Great Commission. The last, I think, three verses of the book of Matthew, and it's told again and again and again, that our job is to continue the work of Christ and to try to preach everywhere we can and to win the lost, and as I said last time, to win them before it's absolutely too late. We have the same apostolic ministry. We have it today. We have it here in New Orleans. They have it in Baton Rouge. Over in Alabama, it's the same gospel, the same charge, the same great commission. And we're to do as the apostles did, to preach the same message, to believe the same things. And maybe we don't see miracles, but we're to believe for them. Our message should not be any different from what the apostles had in this chapter and what the Lord had taught them in the Gospels. We should have the same exact message. But God is blessing the new work. People are getting saved. Miracles are happening. Persecution begins to arise. But we see the Spirit in this chapter and in the ministry of the apostles at this stage. You might have heard of Ananias and Sapphira. They wanted to give an offering. And if you look in previous chapters, it says that the people gave. The new converts gave. The old disciples gave. They wanted to support the work. They wanted the gospel to go further. And Ananias and Sapphira, they owned some land and sold it. And they could have said, look, you know, we made, in today's money, we made $50,000 because we sold that land, and wow, we got $50,000. Hey, we're going to give $10 in the offering. And that would have been fine. Whatever they chose to give would have been fine. But they lied. They lied. They lied about how much they got. And then, I don't know if they wanted to pay tithe, if that was in their mind, or whatever it was. But they told a different price. And they marched down to the front, I guess, and said, hey, apostles, we sold the land, and look, we want to give the money to continue the work. We sold it for $30,000, let's just say. And here we want to give $30,000, but they kept the extra $20,000. Or whatever the numbers are, whatever the numbers are. And Peter, in verse 3, said, hey, man, the devil's working through you. You're lying to God. Oh, you lie to us, but we don't matter. You can lie to a preacher, it doesn't matter, that's fine. But if the preacher is doing God's work, and the Spirit is moving through that preacher, and you lie to the preacher, you're not really lying to the preacher, you're lying to God. And Ananias fell down dead. God judged him on the spot. And to finish the story, it goes from verse 7 to verse 11, I guess. His wife came in, and before she said anything, Peter said, hey, didn't y'all sell it for $30,000 or whatever? And she said, yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's what we did. And she was caught. She was caught. She agreed and testified to the lie of her and her husband Ananias. And Peter said, yep, you lied too. Guess what? I'm going to carry you out too. And she fell down dead. And just as the guys who buried her husband came in, they said, oh, what do you know? We got another one to bury. And they carried her out too. Maybe people don't fall down dead in churches today. Maybe they should fall down dead sometimes. But God is demonstrating that He's in charge. God is showing that it's not just some little religion that the apostles started or whatever. He's showing that Jesus Christ started this message. And the Spirit is empowering the message. And the judgment was kind of like a seal of approval, saying, yes, this is God's work, and don't you touch it. And I guess I could make comparisons maybe to Uzzah when he touched the ark, trying to steady it so that it wouldn't fall off that new cart. Maybe I could talk about in the wilderness when God judged Korah and that rebellion. Maybe I could. But the point here is that this is God's work. Let God do what He wants and be honest in your heart and don't lie to God. You know, God knows everything. God knows everything. And if God hadn't intervened, then Peter wouldn't have known. God showed Peter. Maybe that's a word of knowledge, I don't know. And then God judged Ananias and Sapphira. Again, be honest in your heart. Don't lie to God. Don't try to cover things up. Be honest and pure. And try to do things on the up and up. But in verse 11 it says, and great fear came on all the church, and upon as many as heard these things. Well, duh. Hey, man, we were in church last Sunday, and you'll never guess, this guy fell down dead. Great fear came upon all the church. Duh. But it says in verse 12 and 13, and by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And of the rest did no man dare to join themselves to them, but the people magnified them. Again, this is God's work. These are God's men, not people claiming to be God's men, but God actually with them and demonstrating the power of God, the genuine power of God, not tricks like we see sometimes on TV and in crusades, but genuine the power of God. And the people, it says that some of them were afraid to get close to the apostles because, God might judge me. Now, we're not supposed to hold preachers up, not supposed to put them on a pedestal. That's not right. I'm no different from any one of you listening to me. Yeah, I'm a preacher. I've been preaching for decades. That's fine. Yeah, maybe I studied and know a lot. But I'm no different from the guy that got saved last month and can't find Matthew in his Bible. I'm no better than anyone. And the apostles and Peter here were no better than anyone. The difference is that God was with them. But this idea of the people being afraid, they reverenced God. They reverenced the obvious workings of the Spirit. And they magnified the apostles and said, hey, those guys have been with Jesus and God's with them. I mean, did you hear what happened? The guy fell down dead. But it says in verse 14 through 16 that believers were all the more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, put them on the park bench or whatever next to the sidewalk, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might fall on them. Think about that. There was such respect for the men of God and the Spirit with them. There was such respect. There was no power in Peter's shadow. There was absolutely none. But the people understood that these disciples, these apostles, they were the ambassadors of Christ. They were doing in his stead the things that he himself had done in the Gospels. And you can read, for instance, in Matthew chapter 14 and 15, I believe, it describes the power of God that rested upon Christ. It says at one point, I think it's one of those chapters, that the people knew, they knew that Jesus could heal. And they knew where he was going to be, and so they ran ahead. And when he got there, oh, look at all these people. And they expected to be healed of whatever disease they had, and they were. They got exactly what they expected, but the power of God was so great upon the Lord that even though they knew they would be healed, it blew their minds. And those people, they magnified the Lord. And again, that's what we see here in Acts chapter 5, that the apostles, they continued the work of Christ. The things that he had started, they were continuing on. But it goes on in chapter 16, that there came also a multitude out of the cities round about Jerusalem. And they brought sick folks, and they brought people that were vexed with unclean spirits or troubled with demon spirits or whatever the case, and they were healed, every one. Again, Jerusalem is the capital, but the cities round about, they were the ones that were in the county, if you want to say, or the province or whatever, or the tribe of Judah. This was Judea. Again, Acts chapter 1, verse 8, the second stop in that list, that they'd receive power to be witnesses unto Christ in Jerusalem and in Judea. And then next week we'll see Samaria. But it says, in response to all of this, in verse 17, and I won't read it all, but the high priest, he got all upset. The Sadducees got all upset. And they, it says in verse 18, laid their hands on the apostles. In other words, they arrested them, put them in prison, but God got them out. And they were told, hey, stop preaching about Jesus. Just stop doing it. And they said, no, we're going to obey God rather than you men. And again, persecution, it pretty much begins here. They were arrested, then later on they were brought back in and questioned and reprimanded and told, hey, stop doing that. And oh, before we let you go, we're going to beat you. We're going to flog you. But it says that they went out. Here, let me read it. In verse 41 and verse 42, it says, they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for the name of Jesus Christ. Suffering is part of the gospel. Persecution, we even have it here in this country. But persecution is part of the gospel. And suffering is part of the gospel. But Jesus said, hey, they're going to do this to you. And when they do, when they persecute you, when they beat you, whatever, then count yourself worthy to suffer for my name. And this is the testimony that we see of these people, these apostles, that they did exactly that. When they were beaten and told to stop, as they went out, they were thanking God and praising God that they were worthy to suffer for Christ's name. But it says that they daily were in the temple, and they were in everybody's house, and they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Again, Acts chapter 1, verse 8, you receive power after that the Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me. And that's what we see them doing in the book of Acts chapter 5. You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus Christ in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net. That's JoeyKelly.net. And click on the ministry homepage or on the radio link. Or if you like, you can write me at 1208 Phocis Street. That's F-O-C-I-S Street, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly, encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.